right, while the young turks gotta show it, we gotta. Okay. Don't drop it. Don't drop it. It's not Friday. Okay. A little bit later in the program, down goes Matt Lauer. Down goes Matt Lauer. What in the world? Apparently fired over sexual harassment. Significant stories about that. We'll get to that a little bit later. And then that then leads to Trump talking about Joe Scarborough's dead intern. What in the world? Like, this man, news is going 1,000 miles an hour here. And so that's all a little bit later in the program, and we've got our usual spate of corruption stories, and slavery's back. Man, it's a good thing that we got a recipe for change for you guys. Otherwise, the news is oftentimes, unfortunately, quite horrific. All right, so in fact, let me start with the good news and hope and change and all that wonderful stuff in the world. Can I see where justdemocrats.com/Allison is? All right, now look, you guys helped us to reach the goal that we needed for the voter rolls. As I'm about to tell you guys about some other candidates for the Just Democrats, folks, they need to hire staff, man. There's actually wonderful volunteers. 600 people have already volunteered for Allison Hartson for Senate candidate against Dianne Feinstein. But obviously, we need more money to actually help with those volunteers and to coordinate them. All right, but the new goal is 203,000. Can I see 203,000? Can I see it? Okay, we're at 180,127 there. Obviously, the place to go is justicedemocrats.com/Allison. Okay, well, there it is. Only one L, but if you mistype it and put in two L's, it'll get you to the same place. We're thinking ahead. Okay. Did you know Dianne Feinstein was for the Bush tax cuts? Have I mentioned that before? Do you know that Dianne Feinstein is for the death penalty? Can I understand why we have a wildly conservative senator in California pretending to be a Democrat? Anyway, let me see how getting money out of politics is going. Wolf-pack.com/John. This is a guy we nicknamed the closer. I love this. He'd like to join Aces and the Mechanic, who are the last hires for Wolfpack. Allison, of course, running for Senate now, so we need to fill her shoes. That's not possible. And John's not going to be national director, but he's going to help in a big, big way. He's a Yale educated guy who has helped in Connecticut in the past. And we're trying to raise 250 new members for Wolfpack. Get money out of politics. We passed in 5 states. We need to pass in 5 more. Can I see how we are? 58 donors. Look, this is just $10 a month, man. That's all it is, $10 a month. You want to give more? Bless your heart. You can see. Want to give $1,000 a month? We'll take it. We'll take it. But wolf-pack.com/John. $10 a month will do it. And we need to get 250 members before the end of the show. I'm kidding. End of the year. Okay. But end of the show would be awesome. All right. Now let me give you updates on some Just Democrats, and then another story that we broke for from TYT Investigates. Thanks to you guys over here. Okay. Here comes the Justice League. We got three excellent candidates among the Just Democrats that I want to tell you about. They've got a lot of volunteers, but they need some full-time staff. So let's go through these folks. Charter Richardson, Florida 7th District. He's taking on a Blue Dog Democrat. I don't want any Blue Dogs. He was the head of the ACLU down there. Support him. Cori Bush, Missouri's 1st District. She led the St. Louis protests. I'm going to tell you more about that in a second. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is going to say, take down, say it ain't so joke, Crowley in New York. He's Wall Street's favorite Democrat, and Alex is going to defeat him. So how are you guys going to help? JDems.us or us, both are good, US or us, depending on however you want to pronounce it, -TYT3, okay? So we're going to have that link for you, obviously, in the description box. Sometimes we're going to have it at like this corner here. There's like an I. Sometimes that works. Click that corner, see what happens. Anyway, why do we need to go forward on this? Like, Cori Bush is running a terrific campaign in Missouri. And look, she's not a standard politician. She actually could have run for a Senate seat, but she works in her district, and she has to report to work every day. She's a regular human being. And on top of that, and on top of running for a congressional race, she went and led the protests in St. Louis over and over and over again. And she's featured in the national press for it because she deserves it. And she was there before any of the cameras showed up. She was there before the congressional run. In fact, Just Democrats picked her because we knew that she'd been there for the community all along and had led protests and is uncorrupted. So they're not taking any big donor money. If you're not taking big donor money, you got to help them out with small donor donations. Otherwise, they can't win. So now, let me show you Charter Richardson. He's in running in Florida's 7th district. He's running against Stephanie Murphy, one of the most conservative blue dog Democrats in the country. If you're in a Democratic district, you're in a progressive district, why don't you have a progressive as your congressman? Republicans won't tolerate anyone that's in a deeply red district that isn't right of Attila the Hun. So I don't know why the Democratic Party keeps asking you to bow your head and to take corporate Democrats when in a blue district, you can take anyone you like. You can have a real progressive. And Charter, like all the Just Democratic candidates, does not take corporate PAC money. So you can trust him that he's actually on your side and for the right reasons. Small donor donations wins the day. I want to give you, by the way, Charter's race is one of the top 10 races according to CNN. Gregory Krieg said, an upset here would signal a big shift in the direction of the party's progressive wing for Sunshine State Democrats. So if you're in Florida, look, in all these cases, keep volunteering because the volunteers are going to win this race. But the reason we're doing the fundraiser now for these specific three is they're great candidates and great races. But in order to organize the hundreds of volunteers they have, they need campaign managers. And you're going to think that's funny, like, oh, campaign managers, isn't that thing you're supposed to have right away? Yes, if you take big donor money and you take corporate money, yes, some IBM will get you your campaign manager or whatever. Sorry to IBM for throwing them under the bus when all the companies donate. And then you can, Feinstein in California has plenty of money. She has millions of dollars. She has a campaign manager. We are doing it with small donor money. And these guys are in super competitive races. They have excellent chances of winning because of their volunteer army. But those volunteer armies needs a head. We need to have full-time staffers running those volunteers. So please, jdems.us/TYT3. Again, the link will be in the description box. It'll be in the on Facebook, on the comment section, and then I think over here somewhere. Okay, well, last one for you, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, running in New York, 14th district, and she's running against Joe Crowley. Joe Crowley is Wall Street's favorite Democrat. And he is, that district's in the Queens and the Bronx, but he doesn't live there. He lives in Virginia. He's lived in Virginia for a long, long time. His kids go to school there. He basically got appointed to that seat. That doesn't seem very Democratic. And why is he high up in Democratic leadership? Because he brings in the money from Wall Street. That is not what the constituents in the Queens and the Bronx are looking for. They're looking to get represented. So if you don't want your congressman representing the donors, you want them representing you, that's why we've got the Justice Democrats and the Justice League. So go to jdems.us/TYT3, click there and donate, trying to get to $100,000 to be able to hire these staffers, jdems.us/TYT3. And obviously go to the description box to click that link and help out. And once you do, if they upset these conservative Democrats, even if you gave $3, you get to say, I did that, which is kind of an awesome feeling. Election night is going to be electric. There's the primary nights when some of these folks, progressive Democrats, taking on corporate Democrats, and then there's going to be the general election fights against the Republicans. Let's go do this together. All right, one more story for you guys in this segment. Okay. Now, we've told you about Mick Mulvaney. He was the director of the Office of Management and Budget. He is massively for tax cuts for the rich, says it all the time. Oh, that tax plan winds up raising taxes on the middle class and the poor. Oops, did we do that? What a coincidence. Well, that wasn't enough for Mick Mulvaney, so he wants to move over to Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And Donald Trump has appointed him as the acting director, even though technically and legally, he's not supposed to be the acting director. By law, the acting director is the deputy director. So they made a mess of it. It's an absolute constitutional nightmare. But why have they gone through these extra lengths and potentially illegal acts to get Mulvaney into that bureau? Because It's in the name. It's supposed to protect consumers, and they don't want that. Mulvaney in the past has called it a sick, sad joke. This agency he has come in to destroy, and has authored legislation to completely eliminate the agency. So he is there to destroy the agency, not to run it. And we told you in a recent TYT Investigates report that according to the data maintained by the Center for Responsive Politics, Mulvaney's $31,700 in donations puts him ninth on the list of members of Congress receiving donations from the payday loan industry, taking in more money than almost all House representatives and all but two senators. So he is owned by the payday loan industry, among the biggest contributors to his campaigns. By the way, also takes money from giant banks, also regulated by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and that's why he'd like to destroy it, because his donors are not happy with it. In fact, one of those payday loan companies, as we reported to you earlier, told Donald Trump, "We want you to intercede on our behalf," about a month ago, when the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau set laws that would protect consumers against these payday lenders. And now the Trump administration is interceding. Now the new report is that it turns out Mulvaney's chief of staff recently resigned, and you're not going to believe where he's going to work. It turns out he's now a lobbyist for the payday loan industry. Wow. Look, their corruption is so brazen. Trump ran against the swamp, and now they're like, they're taking pictures of them swimming through the swamp, having a good time, you know, having a party, having drinks inside the swamp. So let me tell you about this particular corner of the swamp. Al Simpson reportedly, he was the former chief of staff to Mulvaney, reportedly got Mulvaney into politics as a South Carolina state legislator and served as Mulvaney's chief of staff from 2010 through January of this year, shortly before Mulvaney left Congress to take the helm at the Office of Management and Budget. That month, Simpson became a managing director of Washington lobbying powerhouse Mercury Public Affairs. I wonder what Mercury Public Affairs is going to get paid to do. Well, let's find out. As Jonathan Larson reports at TYT Investigates, since then Simpson has registered as a lobbyist for seven companies, three of which are financial firms. One of those firms is Harpeth Financial Services, a payday lender, which does business as Advanced Financial. So he is, of course, hard at work trying to protect not consumers, but the payday lenders that are ripping them off. Simpson's registration form lists only a single issue on which he anticipated lobbying for Harpeth, and that is Consumer Financial Protection Bureau reform. Then he calls up his former boss, goes, "Hey, I got a great idea. Why don't you just take over the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and light it on fire?" And then that way the lobbyists, well, he's the lobbyist, the companies that are paying me to lobby will get a great return on investment. And by the way, look, you hear, you'll see how much he got paid. In the month afterward, according to Mercury's most recent disclosure form, Harpeth paid $10,000 for Simpson to lobby Congress and the Office of Administration about Consumer Financial Protection Bureau reform. And look at how easily and cheap that they're bought. So the former chief of staff of Mulvaney goes and becomes a lobbyist, gets paid $10,000, and he's like, "Okay, we're not protecting consumers, that's for sure. Okay, they're trying to pass rules against payday lenders." Payday lenders, which are basically modern loan sharks. Their interest rates are in the hundreds of percents, over 300% interest rates. It's preposterous, it's insane. There used to be laws against that at the state level, there are still laws against that. But they pay off national congressmen like Mulvaney, who then go into the administration, and their lobbyists. They pay them campaign contributions. Mulvaney, $31,000, that's all it took to buy him. The amount of money that is involved is billions of dollars. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau returned $12 billion to you guys because of fraudulent schemes that banks and other financial institutions ran. They were so fraudulent that even with their army of lawyers, the bank said, "Yeah, you got us. Okay, here's $12 billion back." That's how they protected you at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Now, you pay off Mulvaney with $30,000, you pay off his chief of staff with $10,000, and they come in and they destroy the place. That's the battle plan. One last thing, every once in a while you'll hear conservatives or Republicans say, "No, it's okay, we have full transparency." No, no, we tell you who we're getting bribed by, and you know, and then it's up to the voters, right? No, there is no transparency here. Simpson's form that he's supposed to fill out as a lobbyist did not disclose that he used to serve as chief of staff to Mulvaney. Although the Lobbying Disclosure Act requires lobbyists to disclose past work for members of Congress, Simpson's position as chief of staff is not listed, even on forms filed for other clients disclosing he was lobbying Mulvaney's Office of Management and Budget directly. So, no, there's no transparency. They take the legalized bribes, they put it in their pockets, and then they turn around and they don't tell you about it. And then they pretend that they're honest actors. And all of television goes, oh, there's a debate about what to do with the Protection Bureau. There's a, oh, you know, is financial regulation helpful to consumers? Or is deregulation the way to go? Maybe if we let the banks have no rules at all and no protect, and consumers have no protection at all, that might help the consumers. I don't know, it's an honest debate. It's not an honest debate. We legalize corruption in this country. Wolf-pack.com to get the money out. You need to pass an amendment. Otherwise, these legalized criminals are going to come in and rob you. And that's what they're trying to do by destroying this agency. So at least we caught Al Simpson, even though he did not do what was required by the law in telling you who he actually worked for. So now, armed with that information, you know, you are at least understand what is going on here and the scam that's being played. And if you voted for Trump thinking that he was going to protect you from the global financial elites, they're laughing their ass off at you. The head of Goldman Sachs is now the top economic advisor for Donald Trump. His treasury secretary worked for Goldman Sachs. He's got about five people in the West Wing that were from Goldman Sachs. These payday lenders have now come in and bought off the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and they are laughing at you as we speak. You won't get any more protection. Unfortunately, with no cops on the street, particularly on Wall Street, the robbers are about to go wild. Okay, I got to take a break here. When we come back, Trump does insane fake news against Muslims. So now you guys might have already seen what he tweeted out about three videos about Muslims doing terrible things, according to Trump. And it's from a far right wing group in the UK. But wait till you find out what those videos actually are. Amazing. All right, we'll tell you that when we come back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Cenk and John with you now. We're going to carry it home here for the rest of the show together. Smegman writes in, letting Trump skirt around less well-known laws is going to open up the door for him to do whatever he wants. That's why we've got the TYT Investigates crew checking in on all that stuff and reporting it for you guys. Now they're getting pick up in other parts of the media as well because their investigations are excellent. Check them out, of course. Whenever we do a story about them, the link will always be in the description box on YouTube if you're watching later. And obviously, if you're a member, all their investigations are on our website. And thank you guys. Thank you for creating that team in the first place.
I wish we had more. It's awesome. They're on the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, super important. But I want them on net neutrality too. I want them in Puerto Rico. I want all that.
Trust
I want
me.
Them going down to Panama City to investigate the hotel issue, all that.
Trust me, we're trying, brother. We actually were in Puerto Rico, hopefully.
Yes. No Mickey was there. That's true.
The TYT Politics crew was. Yes. And we'll have some of those clips up for you.
Yeah, she had some great interviews.
Check out TYT Politics for that. Matt writes in, Mulvaney is going to take apart the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and the Republicans and Trump are going to tell you that it's going to be good for you because they lie about regulations, of course. Regulations, there's another rule for them. I'm sorry, there's another word for them. That's law. It's the law. And so when they say we should get rid of all regulations, part of what they're saying is we should go lawless. And that's what they are. They're not for rule of law. They're for lawlessness.
I saw today that he's already put a freeze on new hiring, and their outreach to get money back is also put on hold as of right now.
Yeah. And Yeah. And John Kenyon Kayan asks, I'm a Canadian citizen. How can I help Wolfpack? Well, John, it's a fair and good question. If you're outside the country, you cannot donate to Wolfpack. And that's good. Because Wolfpack's a super PAC, they're also now 501c4, and they're aimed at destroying all the other super PACs, but we don't want super PACs taking money from outside the country. That's why you can't donate to Wolfpack outside. Can you volunteer? Sure. You're Canadian, you care about your neighbor to the south, God bless your heart, you can volunteer. So go to wolf-pack.com. Okay, John, what's next?
Well, before we jump into the big news, just two things I want to mention just because they're important. We don't have time necessarily to delve too into them, one especially because we've already been doing a lot on it. But that first one is that Republicans did vote just prior to us going live to advance the tax bill in the Senate. And so now there's going to be 20 hours of debate and then there will be a vote. And apparently Ron Johnson, possibly some others that either had said that they were a no or that they were a maybe, seem to now be indicating that they might be in favor of the bill. So
can I say it now?
Yeah.
Of course they're in favor of giant tax cuts for their donors. I never believed Ron Johnson for a second. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm concerned about how this might affect small businesses. No, you're not.
Well, what do you think about the trigger though? Where if it raises the debt too much, then they'll hike up taxes automatically.
Oh, sure, sure.
I think that will happen.
Sure it will. Sure it will.
Yeah. Anyway, so the reason we bring that up though is that this is go time to potentially do something to stop it. And you know, if you go on Twitter, there's a lot of the great sources giving information about how you can reach via phone the senator's offices and things like that. In addition, also, and it's to give you an idea of the state of the world that we live in, North Korea tested another missile. This one apparently, if it was fired at a flat trajectory, which it was not, could potentially reach almost anywhere in the mainland US, including Washington DC. Not necessarily with the added weight of a warhead on it. It's not believed that during the test it had a warhead, and that would be more difficult. We also don't know if they have the technology to miniaturize a nuclear warhead to fit on a missile like that. But that seems like big news that we unfortunately don't have time to get to because the world's falling apart.
Oh, yeah.
But that's going on. Anyway, let's jump to other news. This morning, Donald Trump tweeted out three extremely Islamophobic videos posted to Twitter by a xenophobic right-wing British political party. We're not going to show you the videos because they're BS, but we are going to show you the tweets and then we're going to give you information about what exactly he was spreading this morning. Let's bring up this first one. You're going to see there a video, Muslim migrant beats up Dutch boy on crutches. That really sounds bad, and obviously any violence between people is bad, but there's a bit of a lie there in that the people doing the actual arrests, and there's information about those people when they're arrested, there's no reference to them being Muslim or any religion whatsoever. Ashley Parker of the Washington Post retitled it, Brunette Dutch Boy Beats Up Blonde Dutch Boy.
Yeah,
he's not a migrant. He's born there. It's a complete lie.
He's not Muslim or a migrant.
Yeah.
So I believe that's what you call fake news. So Trump, with all his stupid attacks against the so-called fake news, he's the guy who invented fake news. He takes credit for inventing the word fake. But he did actually, his campaign and his Russian friends ran fake news nonstop before the election. That's where the term came from in the first place. And now here he is again, retweeting videos, smearing Muslims about a guy attacking a poor kid on crutches. That guy actually did attack that kid on crutches for reasons that are unfathomable, right? And it turns out not a Muslim, not a migrant. Donald Trump's a liar and he wants to smear Muslims because he hates them and he's a bigot.
Yeah. Now let's go to the second tweet. You're going to see here, it's from a video of this guy destroying that Virgin Mary or whatever. That apparently did actually happen. Mm-hmm. It's believed to have happened, the video, in Syria in 2013. So yes, that guy did destroy that little statue. That's terrible. I would say it probably ranks pretty low on the degree of terribleness of things happening in Syria back in 2013, let alone now. It seems a bit odd for the president of the United States to tweet out that video 4 years later, apropos of nothing.
It gets better. So it turns out that guy is part of a group that is anti-Assad, backed by the US government. Oops. Mm-hmm. So that's one of our allies destroying a Virgin Mary statue. And by the way, I was told by a lot of folks here on the right wing, and by the way, and a point that I actually totally agree with and have said many times on my own, that Muslims are overly sensitive about people drawing the Prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. Because hey, look, if you're Muslim and you don't want to draw the Prophet Muhammad, God bless or Allah bless, that's up to you. But I'm not Muslim, I can draw whatever I like. Now, the Muslims so sensitive about a drawing. What did you do to our statue? How could you do something to our statue? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, what happened? All of a sudden you're a snowflake. Okay, well, why do you care about the statue so much? It sounds like you're like one of those Muslim fundamentalists who's like, oh, hey, the drawings, right?
I want to go on the record, I don't like statues being smashed of any kind because it's art, and I think we should just leave it alone. I don't necessarily like all of it.
Yeah.
But
they're whatever. Look, if you're it's a monument of a Confederate soldier who loved slavery, do whatever the hell you want with it, okay? Mm-hmm. In an orderly and civil way. Mm-hmm. Religious statues, I don't care. I mean,
well,
if they're historical artifacts, then I care.
Yeah,
like what the Taliban did to historical artifacts in Afghanistan was despicable.
Yeah, that was terrible. Yeah. Also, there's a distinction between don't destroy it and put it in, you know, a courtyard or something for the government. I don't necessarily think you need to do that. Okay, so by the way, of course, Trump tweeted this because he cares about, you know, these religious artifacts and things being damaged, which is why I look forward to him showing videos of the mosques and synagogues that have been burned out, bombed out, and shot up recently. But that's probably not going
to
happen.
Oh, right, but that. To be fair, that didn't happen 4 years ago or in another country. That's happening here by his far right buddies. Mm. But somehow
but
he's not tweeting
about
it.
It's weird. Huh. Maybe he doesn't want to politicize it. You got to wait 4 years.
You know, he's sending out this video. He's, you know, obviously doesn't like this Muslim guy. He's outraged by it. Well, I don't know if you know this. You're the president of the United States of America. You're the one funding his group. Mm-hmm. You want to pull his funding? No, I just want to like pretend that all Muslims hate all Christians. And while Trump, you're the head of the government. You're funding him. Yeah. Okay, so if you got anyone to blame, it's yourself.
Yeah, and then we have this third tweet. This is probably the most egregious one, showing an Islamist mob pushes teenage boy off a roof and beats him to death. So this apparently also did actually happen. They were, I believe, pro-Morsi demonstrators in Egypt again back in 2013. It did actually happen, but it has absolutely nothing to do with what Donald Trump is doing right now. And look, to some extent, some people might say you're focusing too much on his tweets. But I personally, maybe I'm still naive. I think that when the president of the United States randomly tweets out three videos purely to drive anti-Muslim sentiment, that that's a bad thing, that we should probably worry about it. I'm not the only one. I've read a report that some of the lawyers challenging his Muslim travel ban are going to be using these tweets as evidence of his implicit bias against Muslims. And imagine if you're a Muslim American waking up this morning and finding out that he just went and found three videos trying to make Muslims look bad. JR in the production meeting said this is like somebody going on World Star Hip Hop and just finding, you know, a video of like two people in the inner city fighting and then saying, look at these African Americans, you should be scared of them.
Yeah, don't give him any ideas, John.
It's complete BS.
Almost certainly what Trump would also do.
Yeah, okay. He might do that.
Yeah, so now look, by the way, the last video, let's be fair. So first of all, it is horrific. It's true. They did throw that kid off the roof. Okay. Now, and this is what Donald Trump and Bill Maher talk about all the time, which is, hey, we need moderate Muslims to speak out against the fundamentalist Muslims. And those were fundamentalist Muslims that threw a poor kid off the roof. We need accountability. So now here's the part of the story you didn't hear. It turns out the Egyptian government captured the guys who threw the kid off the roof. And you know what they gave them? They gave him the death penalty.
Yeah.
How's that for accountability? So the guy you see in the video throwing the kid off the roof was executed.
Yeah.
He's already dead.
Amidst a wave of other arrests of people doing those sorts of things.
So
I don't know how much faith I necessarily have in the legal process, but it seems like in this case they did the right thing.
But the whole point of Donald Trump is all Muslims are bad. So I'll pretend that this guy in the first video is Muslim when he's not Muslim. I made it up. I don't care because I just want, because I despise Muslims and I want you all to hate them no matter what they do. The second video is a guy basically Trump is funding. Okay. And the third video, like, but did the Muslims do anything about this? Yes. Yes, they did. They gave the guy the death penalty.
Yeah.
So look, the guy, Trump, is a wild, wild, wild bigot. He's a bigot, racist of the first order. There's no debate about it. And you look, you take any other category here and you replace Muslims with it, and it is atrocious in any context. Now, I have to do this game because a lot of people in America do hate Muslims. Most of the right wing does. And so you have to play these games because they're like Muslims, they don't count. They're not real people. They're all evil and monsters, etc.
Yeah.
So let's replace Muslim with, okay, Christians. Let's say that they're in a fundamentalist Muslim country, their leaders are putting out propaganda videos about Christians doing terrible things. We got to go get the Christians. Look at what they're doing.
Yeah.
Turns out it wasn't even Christians doing it. right? They're like, well, no, you can't do that. We got to protect the Christians. We have to protect the Christians in Iraq, right? And you would be right. We should. The Yazidi, we should have to protect the Yazidi. Now take out Muslim and put another group, Jews. If the president is sending out 3 tweets about how bad the Jews are, and it turns out the first video isn't about someone who's Jewish, but he's like, look at the Jew doing this. Oh, God, that's terrible.
Well, right? Let's recall that he has tweeted anti-Semitic things before, including the Star of David in it, about global financial elites and conspiracies.
Yes. No, look, he said in Charlottesville about neo-Nazis that there are very fine people among them. Of course, he's also anti-Semitic. Oh, but his daughter is Jewish. He grew up an anti-Semite, so his daughter happened to marry a Jewish guy. At the Republican Jewish gathering, he said, you know, I like to negotiate, and if any room knows about renegotiating, it's this room. What the hell does that mean, right? He's such an unbelievable bigot. But we take this as like, ho-hum, oh yeah, he attacks Muslims, but come on, really, is what a lot of right-wing, and unfortunately, some of the media treat it that way. When if it was about any other religious group, people would be calling for his resignation nonstop. It wouldn't work, but I don't want us to get used to this monster, because he is. He's a monster.
Yeah, and it's bizarre. I know some people, there's a tool online where if you want to see what Trump's Twitter feed looks like, based on the people he follows, what is he seeing? You can look at that, and it's a hall of insanity, but you can do that. But people are asking, how is he even coming across these conspiracy theory posts in the first place?
Yes.
I mean, you saw that the name of the woman, one of the deputy directors of Britain First, which is a UK xenophobic right-wing political party. She, back in a few years ago, was charged in the UK for religious aggravated harassment. So right up his alley. But that party in one election got 51 votes. It's not a big thing. Yeah, they spread stuff online. But how is he coming across in the first place? And then oddly enough, I know this is going to be a weird thing, but it's part of a trend. If we can skip to the last graphic in the section 25. Britain First has a website where they spread propaganda like this, and recently they deleted these pro-Putin posts from last year. Because of course, for some reason, if you're a right winger, even in the UK, you have to be like so pro-Putin. They're big fans of him until they deleted the post to hide it.
No, I actually think there's a second possibility. So yeah, these right wingers, they're fascist by nature, and they look at Putin and they think, ooh, that's a fascist demigod. Mm-hmm. Keep Russia Russian. Why do you care if you're Britain First?
It was becoming oddly Chilean over the past few years, I thought.
Britain First, Russia Second. What? No, there's some chance, that they're financed by the Russian government. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just saying that is the second possibility. And we know why they're backing Trump and why they're doing the anti-Muslim propaganda. Because they're financed by the Russian government. It's not rocket
science. It's possible.
I think it's just
ideologies running parallel. I think there's a lot of that, what you said, the bowing to authority, they love the strong man. They wish that they could have a person like that in the UK.
Look, guys, your choice. Either Trump retweeted this group that is pro-fascist or paid off by the Russian government.
We could have a poll.
Oh, and by the way, those are not exaggerations. This group also raids mosques in Britain. What the hell does that mean? Mm-hmm. And they do things called Christian patrols. So if the fascists were to take over Britain, and obviously, hopefully, it'll never happen. But if they were to, these guys would jump in and be like, yes, time for fascism. And Trump's like, wonderful, what can I retweet for you?
Yeah.
And how did Trump even get to this stuff, to get to your question of these insane anti-Muslim videos from this tiny little group?
Yeah.
So two possibilities there. One is Stephen Miller or Steve Bannon are like, hey, Donald, you're going to love this anti-Muslim bigotry. Oh, let's spread it everywhere, right? Which is not such a great scenario. Or the second scenario is, Donald, we would like you to retweet something we fund in Britain. Okay, what the hell kind of accent was that?
I mean, you nailed the accent, but I'm not sure that's what's going on, but you never know. Oh, and one final thing on this. So we reported recently over the past few weeks, there's been some new statistics on hate crimes over the past year or two. And both anti-Muslim and anti-Semitic hate crimes are skyrocketing, both during his run, but also since he became president. And so like the people who will say that these tweets don't matter, that you know it's a distraction, we should purely be focused on something else, like they don't realize that this does have a cost. It's a cost in blood in some cases, people being killed in our own country because of hatred against Muslims and against Jews. It's people who live terrorized because their Jewish community center has had 10 bomb threats over the past year and things like that. Like these are people's lives who are literally being destroyed or in some cases ended, and they're being antagonized. They're being led by the president on this issue. Okay, why don't we go to the reaction? Okay. This morning, Donald Trump's retweets of the Islamophobic videos by a xenophobic British political party has been widely condemned by a number of different groups, defended by others. We're going to touch on both. The first is by the office of the UK Prime Minister Theresa May, who said it is wrong for the president to have done this, and says that the UK citizens overwhelmingly reject the prejudiced rhetoric of the far right. And so that is a good response, obviously, the effect, as we've been talking about, of Britain First and you know people who agree with them in the UK is something that Theresa May and others there are going to be very focused on. They're concerned about the growth of that, and they don't like to see it being amplified by the US president.
So Theresa May is right wing, and she's the establishment basically in the UK. So I've got a lot of issues with her, but she's the kind of establishment that we used to know, the devil we knew, which was sane, slowly crushing you with lower wages. Like, okay, we know how to fight back against that. Donald Trump is a totally different wild animal, and he's like, let's, you know, look at these Muslims. And one of the videos, the guy's not even Muslim, So Theresa May is forced into a position where she has to be the sane moderate. Where she's like, wait, we just want to make more money. There's no reason to hate Muslims. It's weird. Stop doing that. Right. So now it makes us go, oh, way to go, Theresa May.
Well, I don't have to give her too much credit, but I'm glad that she's speaking out against this, especially because, as the, you know, as a prominent, especially female politician, there's every chance there's going to be 10 tweets about her tomorrow morning. So we'll see about that. Not yet. So that's Theresa May, but the White House did put out a statement because of people's problems with these retweets. So here is Sarah Huckabee Sanders to lie to you.
Whether it's a real video, the threat is real, and that is what the president is talking about. That's what the president is focused on, is dealing with those real threats. And those are real no matter how you look at it.
So it's okay if it's a fake video?
Look, I'm not talking about the nature of the video. I think you're focusing on the wrong thing. The threat is real, and that's what the president is talking about, is the need for national security, the need for military spending, and those are very real things. There's nothing fake about that.
I know that that is her job, and you know it's the same as Sean Spicer. I hate press secretaries because she knows she is goddamn wrong. She is lying. The video is fake. It was known to be fake before he retweeted it. I'm not saying, well, whether the video is real, the threat is real. So whether I'm spreading fake news or not, I really think it's important that you hate Muslims so I can show you whatever I want. I can just put, you know, a scene from True Lies or something and hey, maybe it didn't really happen, but you should be scared about these brown people. That's insanity coming out of the press secretary of the White House.
Now we've unfortunately gotten to a point where we're going in circles. And the reason is, so the Trump says, oh, CNN, MSNBC are fake news. Then he literally puts out fake news. And then his press secretary says, who cares? I don't care that the videos are fake. The issue is real anyway. What's the issue? The issue is we should all be scared of Muslims, even though they didn't do some of these things in the video. Well, there's one part that's true, which is the bigotry is real. That you hate Muslims is real, that you discriminate and are racist is real. And so there, she's like, well, the videos are fake, but our racism is real.
Yeah.
Right? So we got that part, but it doesn't matter. It's not going to break through. In fact, this will probably help Trump with his voters.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. They'll be like, oh, who cares that it's fake? We don't care. We don't care. Like Trump, we hate Muslims. We're done with it.
They don't care, and increasingly, it doesn't matter. And so that's why, even though this video, in a very real sense, is less, this video is being retweeted, this topic that we're talking about is less immediately bad than some of the other things we're going to talk about on the show. This almost pisses me off more because we're in, you know, not even 1 year into the seven-dimensional chess of let the fascists take over the country for 4 or 8 years and we'll see what happens. Thinking that the only difference between politicians and parties is where they are in the spectrum between progressive and conservative. It's an incredibly simplistic, unrealistic way of looking at the world. There are other important factors, like whether you have any respect whatsoever for truth, whether there is anything that is verifiable about the world. You can have a discussion with someone who is different than you on the political spectrum, so long as both of you have some commitment to reality, to the real world, to not telling blatant falsehoods on a regular basis. And when I see these, you know, when we have the reaction to the Pocahontas and she says it's not a racial slur, and then he puts out these videos and they say it doesn't matter if the videos are real or not, I seriously don't know if we will ever return to a point where what we say matters, that there are consequences for what you say, and that we'll be able to actually have some sort of discourse as a country between right and left, between parts of the right and parts of the left. Nothing matters anymore. And after 4 years of this, after 8 years of this, will you be able to talk to anyone? Will there be any persuasion left? I increasingly don't think that there will be.
And look, if you're on the side, it happens sometimes on the left, certainly more rare, but it does. But if mainly on the right, overwhelmingly on the right, if you're on the side of I don't care what facts are, okay, just at least own up to the fact that you're on the lying side. You're on the side filled with falsehoods because you can't win an argument if you're in the reality-based world. So you have to create an unreal world. I mean, so, you know, just what happened the other day with Gateway Pundit and all the blogs and spreading fake stories. They don't care. That's what they do. If you see a right-wing website, you can't trust anything in it. Almost all the right-wing websites are filled to the rim with lies. So if you're on that side, okay, I guess you're owning up to it. You just don't like this planet, so you'd like to be on a different planet where you guys are right, but you're not.
It's incredibly discouraging when our career is just trying to you know, spread information, educate people, all that. But the goal is that hopefully you can just appeal to a few people, a percent of the other side, to try to expand the boundaries of respect for truth, respect for human values, these progressive principles that we have, and to see the entire, it's not even like we're trying to get to the people, it's the floor is dissolving beneath us. Everything is changing in horrific ways, and there are people like thinking that this is just fun and games, that we can just do this for a while, that everything will be fine. We'll let Trump be the president for 4 years, for 8 years, and then we can just go back to normal and, you know, maybe we can have a conversation about the minimum wage. Maybe we won't be able to have any conversation. This is every time we have a production meeting, it is so goddamn scary thinking about what the future will be like. We've always had problems, both as a country and, you know, when we are trying to put together our show, there's been no time where things are great, where things are hunky-dory. But we're in a terrible place right now. And I feel beset from all sides by people who have no respect for the truth, no respect for expertise, no respect for any norms whatsoever. Anyway. Probably take our break.
Yep. Now that we've told you that there are no norms left. Okay. So when we come back, the last window on freedom is closing. Bad news to worse news. So the state of net neutrality and how close they are to ending it when we return. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and John with you guys as I continue to take notes. Okay, I've got two tweets for you guys because we've got a lot of news for you. Chris Allen writes in, they're not regulations, they're protections. I like that framing, Chris, nice job. And Miri with a very random tweet, it's 4:20 my time, you know what that means. Well, I do, Miri, I guess enjoy.
We're starting the second block, I assume.
Or something else. We here in LA have 25 minutes left before that moment.
Yeah.
I hear Jimmy Dore's in the building. Is Jimmy in the building?
He was.
Okay, all right.
It's going to be legal here soon, right? Soon?
Yeah, very, very soon.
Thank God. Okay.
Yes. All right. Thanks, God. All right. What's next?
Praise Jesus. Okay. Net neutrality, unfortunately. With all that's going on in the news, we can't allow ourselves to forget that this is also the set of just a few weeks that will determine the life or death of net neutrality going forward, because the FCC is looking to destroy it, and that is coming up very soon. With that in mind, I've got bad news for you. And that has to do partially with how people view the topic of net neutrality, but also maybe why they view it that way. And that has to do with the coverage or lack of coverage in the media. And this is mostly coming from the great work of Media Matters in cataloging this. Let's bring up this first graphic. You're going to see the broadcast news networks that NBC didn't talk about at all, not for 1 second. ABC somehow found a way to talk about it for 25 seconds. I don't even know what that would be. For 25 seconds.
I do, yeah.
Yeah? And then we get 2 minutes out of them. CBS, right?
Yes.
I don't know the logos. I think it's CBS.
Yeah, it's
but
CBS.
It's not a lot of time. It's really not a lot of time. Now, that's the broadcast networks. Now, thankfully, the cable news networks did talk about it more, although it's not that much better. MSNBC was actually the best. They far outpaced the coverage of net neutrality compared to CNN and Fox News. From originally being reported on the Rachel Maddow show, this most recent push on November 20th, they have since spent nearly 47 minutes on net neutrality, which when you consider that these networks all have 24 hours and repeat the same stories over and over, it seems low even then. But let's compare that 47 minutes to CNN, which devoted approximately 10 minutes, and Fox News, which spent a little more than 11 minutes. However, that included two interviews with Ajit Pai, who's going to destroy net neutrality on Fox and Friends. I'm sure it was a substantive deep dive. And Pai gave no other interviews and segments included in the study. And so the raw numbers, maybe 10 minutes and 11 minutes sounds good, but if that is basically purely from the point of view of the person who wants to kill net neutrality, maybe it would be better if they didn't talk about it at all.
Yeah, of course Fox is on the side of giant media companies who'd like to control the internet and pass their own regulations and not let the government protect our interests and basically protect the internet as it is. That's not surprising. NBC not running any stories on it when they're owned by Comcast, one of the internet service providers, also not surprising. But credit to MSNBC. So they're also owned by Comcast, but they spent the most amount of time on that issue. Yep. So maybe not enough by our standards, but still way better than the rest. So credit to them, especially because they're owned by Comcast.
Yeah, and interesting, I believe that you already reported this, but we should repeat that Comcast recently deleted their 3-year-old no paid prioritization net neutrality pledge, where they said that they would not have tiers, basically, where if you pay more, you get more, or more likely, if you don't pay more, you get less. That's usually how that works out. And oddly enough, it's a weird coincidence, they deleted that pledge on the same day the FCC said they were gonna destroy net neutrality. Weird how that works out.
Yeah, and I like how while Obama was in charge and while they were pretending that they were gonna be moral actors, they're like, no, we'll protect the internet on our own because we care about the public. Okay, they're like, oh, we don't have to care about the public anymore, Trump's in charge. Yeah, we were just kidding. Obviously, we change our own laws anytime we want, it's just they're not actual laws. And so we changed our rule and we decided that we can slow down your website.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, if this gets destroyed and we start to see those tiers of service and the vast majority of us end up on a crappy tier where it's not that they're building new higher speed things for those who pay more, they will find ways to cut your speed now and probably charge you more for it even then. That's gonna affect all areas of the internet. Our show, porn and Netflix, which is the vast majority of what most people do, but I automatically think about people who are debating whether they can afford to have the internet in the first place. Maybe they don't have it yet. The US has lower rates than a lot of other parts of the world. Or schools that are considering hooking up more internet capable computers. Like, think about those people and what will end up happening to their experience. Like, if they're trying to use the internet for education, for instance, doing classwork and things of that sort. Like, think about how much we already have this huge inequality in terms of educational outcomes between classes, and that could only get worse. The internet is supposed to be the great equalizer, but it's not gonna be equal anymore. So that's gonna be great for a lot of Americans.
So before we get to other parts of the story and what Americans think about net neutrality, I just wanna give you an avenue to fight back. So one thing you can do is you can sign a petition that, let's go to graphics 16 through 19, Jesus. A petition that the Just Democrats are doing. So these are the guys who are uncorrupted. They don't take corporate PAC money, so they don't represent corporations. They represent you guys. JustDemocrats.com/net neutrality. And the petition says, the FCC under the leadership of Trump appointed Chairman Ajit Pai is set to end net neutrality with a vote on December 14th. This move by the government agency will effectively sell the American people out to large ISP conglomerates like Comcast and Verizon, who will be able to charge websites to reach users at faster speeds. Now, this is interesting. If you guys didn't know, they point out, luckily, Congress has the power to reverse any decision made by the FCC through a congressional resolution of disapproval and can also apply political pressure. Please sign this petition and call your congressperson to demand that they do everything in their power to stop the nonsense of Trump and Pi from destroying the internet, or there will be consequences. Now, by the way, you could, now Ajit Pai is not going to listen, but you could email him, be civil, ajit.pai@fcc.gov. And the vote's on December 14th. This is the building, Federal Communications Commission, 445 12th Street Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20554. Look, let's stop there because, look, what do we have left? They're inviting disaster, right? So, there's all these comments that were sent to the FCC. John's going to tell you about that in a second and what a joke that turned out to be. Okay, so they don't care. Most people are against it, they don't care.
Democrats and Republicans are against it, they don't care.
Yeah, Republicans, voters are against it, they don't care. So, what do the Republicans do whenever they're in a bad situation? They get physical. So, the most famous instance is in Florida, they started the recount in 2000, and a bunch of Republican lobbyists and staffers get together, and they went and circled the building in Miami-Dade to stop the recount, and it worked. And it worked. Mm-hmm. They pretended to be real Americans who were outraged that we were counting the vote, as if a thing like that exists, right? And they shut down the vote. And it turns out if they had recounted all of Florida, Al Gore would have been president, and it worked. So, okay, well then surround the FCC building on December 14th. Don't let them take the vote. So don't do anything physical to any human being, please, 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 okay? So, you know, we're on the left, we don't believe in physical action against human beings, okay? But on the other hand, the FCC building, look, if we had any kind of semblance of democracy here. You know what other countries do? They pour into the streets. There's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. There should be 100,000 people surrounding the FCC building going, go see if you can take the vote now. Okay? That's the only thing left.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, realistically, this is, we should have, I don't know if it needs to be a constitutional amendment, but, and maybe this is just gonna make me sound like a geek, but there's a variety of rights that we need to have. One of them is the right to, you know, unrestrained access to the internet. It's not an optional thing. This ain't the early 90s. This isn't just for like people who want to play Doom or something like that. You need this for every area of life, from commerce, business, school, relationships increasingly, everything. And one of the reasons I think that they might be able to squeak it through right now is, one, is we allowed Trump to be elected and we knew that this would happen since he spoke out in 2014 against net neutrality. But also that people have been worn down by multiple times that we've already had this discussion. Under Obama, this came up multiple times and we put pressure on the government and they went in the right direction. Obama and the FCC at that point went in the right direction. And so it just keeps coming up over and over and over, and this time they might actually succeed.
So the petition will have the link down in the description box on YouTube and in a comment section on Facebook. But let me tell you where we are on the polls and what Americans think about this. A poll from Morning, this we're going to graphic 32. It's poll from Morning Consult and Politico released on Wednesday found that 52% of registered voters support net neutrality regulations compared with 18% who say they don't. Now, the main issue there is that most people don't know what it means.
And 40% don't have an opinion.
Yeah, and so of 46% that they've heard a lot or some about net neutrality recently, that means the majority of Americans have not heard about it. And so partly because of what John pointed out, which is that the media is hardly covering it at all. So since they didn't see it on TV, a lot of older Americans, they never heard about it. So whereas the people who did hear about it, the numbers are overwhelming, 52 to 18 on our side. In fact, 55% of Democrats are for net neutrality, that's keeping the internet as it is, but so are 53% of Republicans.
Yeah.
The Republicans go, wait, no, don't take away my right-wing websites. You think those big cable companies are gonna care about your right-wing blogs? No, you're first on the chopping block. They don't like your bigotry, that it costs them customers.
Yeah.
So. That's why actual voters hate this thing. Now, which leads us to the hilarious situation, which is graphic 34, about what happened when they asked for comments of the FCC. But first, let me give you a little bit of context. Last time they did this in 2014, a lot of people sent in comments. They sent in about 450,000 comments overall, and they were all for, almost all for keeping net neutrality. And so the Republicans on the commission looked at that and go, when you ask for comments, it doesn't turn out well for us, right? They like the internet, they want to keep it as it is. Yeah. We tried to do our propaganda, we sent Ajit Pai on Fox News, and we did all that stuff about, oh no, keeping the internet as it is would be government regulation. Instead, let Verizon and Comcast do any regulation they like, but only for their benefit and not yours. Oh, damn, that didn't work. So this time, they asked for comments, but now there are bots. So they get 22 million comments, but let's, okay, let's look into that. Pew Research Center found out, and this is reported by The Hill, the organization found that of the 21.7 million comments submitted to the FCC on the Obama era rules this year, just 6% were unique. The other 94% were duplicate comments.
Wow.
Okay, now to give you context, where are the, which side has the duplicate comments? Now, one instance was 2.8 million people sent in the same comment because John Oliver did a segment on it.
That's true.
Which was awesome, okay? That's a lot of people, man.
Yeah.
God bless John Oliver.
Considering that he does like 8 minutes of video a year, he devoted a lot of it to net neutrality going back through the year. So he deserves a lot of credit for that.
So those are actual human beings who got worked up by John Oliver, bless his heart, and said, yes, I want to keep net neutrality. Now let's look at the rest. The seven most common messages found in the record comprise 38% of all the comments, just seven, right? Six of those, one was John Oliver's fans, six of those were anti-net neutrality messages submitted a combined 5.5 million times.
Maybe the people really don't like net neutrality.
Yeah, maybe they were listening to Rush Limbaugh and he's like, oh, who needs the internet? And 5.5 million people got on and said, oh, no, I'm going to send the same exact message, right?
Yeah.
No, or perhaps those big internet service provider companies were like, oh, there's a thing called the bot where we can pretend the people are on our side. Send the same 5.5 million messages saying, oh, I hate freedom on the internet. Please slow down all my websites. I don't want to watch Netflix. Oh, I want it to be really slow. Porn, yuck. No, slow that down. I don't want that either. Okay.
Bots are people too.
Yeah. Right-wing and left-wing sites that don't agree with the establishment. I hate those. Please let Verizon and Comcast control them.
See, right? Look at this elitist lib over here. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I watch things online like Westworld, the plot's really complicated. It's hard to follow. It's nice when it pauses all the time for like 10 seconds and buffers. It gives me time to think about the plot, figure out what's going on. I have a couple of other numbers though. 7.7 million comments were submitted from mail domains attributed to the website fakemailgenerator.com.
Gee, I wonder where they're coming from. Million. I can't quite tell.
Also, and it's interesting to find out, sometimes there's geographic differences in how much people care about an issue. Like some issues, you know, in California they care a lot about it, some in Florida they care a lot about it. In this case, it was from somewhere else though. 445,000 comments came from Russian email addresses.
Huh.
So it turns out they just really care about stopping net neutrality in Russia. It's weird how that works out.
It is kind of weird. It's funny how whatever.
By the way, that's more than all the comments that came around the last time the FCC solicited comments came from Russian email addresses.
Now, do you think the Russians really care about making sure that Verizon and Comcast make more money?
Yes.
No. Okay, but somehow, whatever Trump supports, there's websites in Russia that also support it. Yeah. What a weird coincidence. And so, look, you guys, for the people who do understand net neutrality and understand that it stands for freedom on the internet and keeping things as they are on the internet, for those folks, when Ajit Pai and those clowns go around saying, oh, we have a lot of comments from fake.com that's saying that they just think net neutrality is terrible. They just don't want the internet to stay as it is. You think we're not going to catch you? You think we're not savvy enough to figure out where it's coming from? So in this case, Pew Research Center did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
But you're going to get caught either way. To them, it's just a joke. It's just a way of how do I do propaganda? Enough of a fig leaf for me to do whatever my literal corporate masters told me to do. Because Ajit Pai worked for them before. He will work for them again. They're the donors to the Republicans who are supporting this. And when they go out, they'll probably work as lobbyists for these same companies.
Yeah.
So when people talk about revolution, this is it. I mean, you need a revolution so that the corporations don't take over every single part of our lives. Yeah. They've already captured the government. Now they're going to capture the internet, and that's and who's the only people fighting back? Look, a lot of folks online give them credit. And by the way, yes, right wing and left wing sites, so bless their hearts. And yes, Google and Facebook are the good guys in this case, and Netflix, they're all fighting for net neutrality. But also on the political side, the Just Democrats, because the corporate Democrats are like, oh, it's bad, right? But they also take corporate money. Just Democrats don't take corporate money, so they care. JusticeDemocrats.com/net neutrality. The link is in the description box. Sign the petition. Find any way you can to fight back.
Why don't we take a break so that they have time to go sign the petition?
Sounds good. Okay. When we come back, if you thought all this news was bad,
it's going to get dark.
Slavery's back. We're going to explain it to you. It is, in fact, unfortunately, literal. All right. That when we return.